Jesse Jackson took with him a man who is the manifestation and the incarnation of fire. He took with him a man, for when we say that you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free, he took with him a truth giver. Where we say that knowledge is power and knowledge can be the difference between life or death, he took with him a lifesaver. He took with him a man whose genius and brilliance and ability to communicate and to talk and to touch chords, a man who has the ability and the temerity and the audacity and the unmitigated gall to stand up and say to white America all over the world that you are wrong. Let us welcome Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Final Call, the Nation of Islam.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the One God, to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. And in the name of his true servant and last messenger, our beloved leader, teacher, and guide, the messenger of Allah, the most messenger of Allah, Dr. King's workshop, Push headquarters, and those in our radio audience with the greeting words of peace in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum. To the acting president of Operation Push, our beloved brother, Tom Todd, to the Reverend Willie Barrow, Reverend Riddick, to the distinguished platform guests, to the Push family, to the members of the Nation of Islam, and to all of you who are present this morning. We are here today to celebrate a great victory. We are here this morning to celebrate the triumph of God in His time. You know, the scripture tells us that God's coming is after the workings of Satan. It means that God's spirit would be present, but not in full power until Satan's time of work is up. Then God would make himself present and his power felt. We are here to celebrate the victory of God coming through one of his chosen in Jesse L. Jackson. I would like to, since Reverend Jackson tells me, he says, brother, he said, I hear you, I know you're a Muslim. He said, but you quote the Quran, it seemed like to me, once a month. And he says, I think you're a frustrated Baptist preacher. So I take all of that because I refuse to be divided by labels. I am indeed not a frustrated Baptist preacher, but a highly spirited Baptist preacher. And I am indeed a Muslim. Both of them say the same thing, if you really understand. So I'm going to read this morning from the Holy Quran, a book that most of this Western world is not familiar with. It is the 110th chapter of the Holy Quran, titled Al-Asr, the help, the help. And it reads like this: In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, when Allah's help and victory comes, and you see men entering the religion of peace in companies, celebrate the praise of thy Lord and ask his protection. Surely he is ever returning to mercy. This is the 110th chapter of the Holy Quran. Notice whose help comes. When Allah's help, when God's help, when Shiloh's help, when Yahweh's help, when Christ's help comes, then victory comes. Victory doesn't come on our own. It comes when you have the help of the divine being intervening in our affairs. When Allah's help and victory comes, how should you act? When you see men entering the religion of peace in companies, how should you act? Should you say, this is my victory? I did it. This is my victory. Look what I have done. The scripture says, celebrate the praise of thy Lord and ask his protection. Why should you ask his protection? Because when God gives us a victory, it is so magnificent, it is so great, it is so overwhelming, it is so stupendous, so colossal, that people then will look upon you as more than what you are. But if you ask God's protection and give God the glory and celebrate his praise, then it says, surely he is ever returning to mercy. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us nothing is impossible. When the Reverend Jackson decided to go to Syria to retrieve his brother, Lieutenant Robert Goodman, a Navy pilot, people said it's impossible. What are you going there for? You're going on a fool's errand. It's nothing but a publicity stunt. Many who were on the trip with the Reverend Jackson wanted Reverend Jackson to give the Syrian government that if he went, that the young pilot would be released even before he went. But he had no such assurance. So many that were on the mission with him would not go because it was too politically risky. So many in Brother's delegation, in talking to some of those whose feet were getting cold, said this is a mission of faith.
That's right.
And if you already know the outcome, then there is no test in your faith in the God that you say you believe in. The Reverend Jackson had only one assurance, that he was welcome to Syria and that he would meet with the president, Hafez Assad. But the outcome, only God knew. It wasn't impossible to Reverend Jackson, nor was it impossible to those of us who journeyed to Damascus with him. We knew that when things are impossible for man, they are pregnant with opportunity for God's magnificent power to manifest itself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us that when Almighty God created the universe from nothing, he destroyed the impossible. Mind you, he created the universe from nothing. So, if you really want God's help, don't ever think too much of yourself. Man has a terrible habit of thinking himself to be self-sufficient. Therefore, he is ever ungrateful. But when a man or woman will humble himself or herself to Almighty God, recognizing God's greatness and our insignificance, then he, the great one, can manifest his power through our insignificance. So the scripture says he created man from the dust of the earth, trying to tell man, I got you from nothing also. I made you from dust. Don't get too big for your shoes. I made you from nothing. And when you were formed from the dust of the earth, it was not you who breathed into your nostrils. It was I who breathed into your nostrils, and then you became a living soul. The Quran differs a little with the biblical story of creation. Though the Quran uses the word dust and clay, it says man in his first state is considered nothing. Our first state is sperm. And sperm is nothing to speak of. Is that right? We just don't have conversations about sperm. But yet, oh, pardon me, I hope I didn't say anything wrong. From sperm, all of us evolved by a power and an intelligence bigger than ourselves. So if you want the help of God, return to that position or mind or state of nothingness, and then call on the only reality to aid you. And then that reality will manifest himself through you. So this chapter is called the 110th chapter. Now notice you have two ones and a zero. Now since we all bear witness that we are nothing and only God is something, the Bible tells us that God is one. The Quran tells us, Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Say he, Allah is one. If we are zero and God is one, when God, the one, comes to stand in back of nothing, then the nothing is raised to the power of 10. Is that right? So when we went to Syria, we went with a prayer. We started with a prayer on this side. And prayer followed us every step of our journey because we recognized our nothingness, but we were hoping that the one God would get in behind us to make something out of nothing. I was pleased and honored to be with our brother, the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, on this mission. I watched him work. And I wasn't watching him work. I was watching God working through him. As I said at Push a few weeks ago, you got to be able to see when man leaves off and when God comes in. No wonder the analysts can't analyze the effect of this trip. Because the analysts are like the government. They are blind. And the blind are leading the blind, and therefore both are headed into the ditch. They can't see when God intervenes in the affairs of men. Today we challenge what you think is impossible, because God wants to make himself known in the world today. And what better people could he choose to make himself known than a people who have been reduced to ashes, to dust, to zero, to aught, to nothing. And God says, I'll take one or two or 10 or 100 of nothing, and I will stand behind nothing. And then you got a number that no man can count. When we got to Syria, the Reverend Jackson and his delegation were invited to the foreign ministry to talk to the second most powerful man in Syria, the foreign minister Abdul Halim Kadam. We're not cussing, that's his name. The Reverend Jackson began to speak. The room was filled with Syrian high officials and, of course, the Reverend Jackson's delegation. When the Reverend finished speaking, the foreign minister, through his interpreter, began to speak. He appreciated the Reverend Jackson. They know him well there in Syria and throughout the Middle East. And I must say this at this juncture. Of any black person in America, there is none more respected in the Middle East by the rulers and kings of that area than Reverend Jackson. They said, we respect your humanitarian gesture, your call to us. But we are, in words, in a state of war alert. We have been bombed by America. How can we let this young man go and keep our troops morally prepared to fight a war if necessary to defend their own homeland? Can we let him go? What effect would it have on our own people, on the morale of our own troops? After all, we made no aggression against America. They were flying reconnaissance flights over our positions. We fired on their planes. We didn't strike their planes. We fired on their planes to let them know that we do not appreciate their coming into our territory, flying over us. After all, we could not fly over America. And we could not even fly over their aircraft carriers, which are in our waters, and we are not in theirs. We appreciate your appeal, Mr. Jackson, but we cannot be more Americans than the Americans. In other words,
we cannot be more liberal to fight for this black pilot's release, and your own government don't fight for his own release.
I was sitting at the table. His point was strong. Lord, it was strong. But I must tell you, beloved, the Reverend Jackson looked up and he began to speak, and it looked like God had jumped in his mouth. And our brother said, I didn't come on a mission seeking justice. I didn't come here because America was morally correct. I came on a mission of mercy. I don't argue the rightness or wrongness of the man. I'm seeking mercy and a lowering of the temperature of war, that peace may come and a breaking of the cycle of pain take place. Undaunted, he pressed his point. And as he pressed his point, I saw the foreign minister yield. And the foreign minister said, well, he sounded like a Baptist preacher, well. He said, I will take your appeal and represent it to the president. He said, and we will see if we can find an equation that will give you what you want and us what we want. We retired and we deliberated over the word equation and what that might mean. Because the Reverend Jackson was not in a position to negotiate. He had nothing to give. We prayed again. And the next meeting we had was with the top religious leaders in Syria, Muslims and Christians. We sat around the table and the Reverend Jackson put his case before them. And then they made their strong appeal. They said, we pray that the pilot be released. We also share your concern that peace comes. But we want America to know that we also are human beings. You expect us. In words, they said, you are insulting us. Our people have been bombed and killed. And you ask us to do this thing. Let this man go. Their appeal was strong. The Reverend Jackson bounced back. In words, he said to them, we are not denigrating your humanity by asking you to let this young pilot go. We are appealing to your greater sense of humanity. When the Reverend Jackson finished with the religious leaders, we were hugging and kissing and embracing. But there was one more hurdle to go. The next day, he had to meet with the president, President Assad. When he went to meet President Assad, they were very courteous, loving, warm in exchange of greetings, but the answer was definitely no. No. Reverend Jackson again came back with an appeal.
Yes.
That President Assad said, I will reconvene the appropriate bodies and I will give you the decision of our deliberation within a few hours. And we came back to the hotel. The Reverend Jackson and those that were with him came back to the hotel, and we prayed again. No call for an hour, no call for 2 hours, no call for three, no call for four, no call through the night. Then during that night, he did get a call from the president's secretary telling him, if you would please postpone your flight. We were scheduled to leave the next morning at 8 o'clock. Postpone that flight. Reverend Jackson said, certainly we will postpone the flight. And we gathered again and prayed again. And the Reverend Jackson said, when the jury is deliberating a long time, that's in your favor. Sure enough, the next morning, the Reverend Jackson was summoned to the foreign ministry. And in a very short word, the foreign minister told the Reverend Jackson that your appeal has been heard. And President Assad has agreed to free Lieutenant Robert Goodman as a humanitarian gesture. No matter what the people want to make of it, it was God's victory. And he used the country preacher.